Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Here we go. Happy Friday. End of the week. Made it through the first week of August. Any more to come? Welcome in, Spencer on Sports. Kicking off local programming here on KGYM, 319-366-1600. Talk and text line wide open for you this afternoon. Love to hear from you on anything that's on your mind in the sports world. We've got NFL preseason underway. Did you watch the Hall of Fame game last night? Did you make it through the whole thing? I'm sure most of you probably watched at least a little bit of it. I'm in the little bit crowd. Tune in for a little bit of it. Didn't watch the whole thing. Not a big preseason fan. But it's football, so you gotta at least sample it, right? We'll talk about that. Talk about what happened during the game. Cover some of the big headlines with the NFL here for this Friday afternoon. Coming up later on in the show. Got a collector's corner for you coming up before we step out of here. Make way for the gym class. Another record sale in the sports card world involving... I call it one of the card of cards. There's a term in the hobby, for those of you not in the hobby. It's called Grail, kind of like the term Holy Grail. It's a card that is on every collector's wish list, and most of the time, they are impossible to get, mainly because they cost so much to acquire. And a new record sale for one of the cardboard goats, I guess you could say, for using modern terms. We'll tell you about that coming up later on in the show. Get to the world of baseball. We got one day game today. The Cubs taking on the Fish, Miami Marlins at Wrigley Field. Beautiful sun-splashed Wrigley Field. Got it on the TV here in the studio, so we'll keep you up to date on what's happening there. Take a look at what happened in the world of baseball yesterday, including the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They're just like a running joke. A running joke with Shohei Ohtani on the team. We'll tell you what they did yesterday. That, you know, any other team does it, you know, they'd probably be in line for a win. But the Angels, not the case. We'll talk about that later on in the show as well. We'll get into some baseball news and notes, including some comments by Miguel Cabrera, one of the all-time greats, that suggests that maybe this is his final year playing professional ball. We'll tell you what he had to say to a reporter yesterday after the Tigers played against Tampa Bay. We'll get into that and more coming up here. Spencer on Sports here on KGYM. Thanks for listening on 1600 AM, 102.3 on your FM dial in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. Of course, on the stream at KGYMradio.com and on the free-to-download app for your smartphone or on your smart speaker. Also have another chance to win, or final chance this week for you to take home a pair of tickets to check out Co Wetzel. He's performing at the McGrath Amphitheater here in Cedar Rapids 1 week from tonight. We've been playing a game called Match Game, college football match game, matching a player to their college. And we'll play that one more time coming up sometime between now and 3 o'clock here on KGYM. So listen for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Co Wetzel in Cedar Rapids next week, Friday. And 319-366-1600, our poll question today has to do with an interesting piece of sports media news that just came out. You've all heard of the Manning Cast by now. It's Peyton and Eli Manning doing a separate broadcast with guests being interviewed, reacting to the Monday Night Football game that's on. Well, now there's going to be a college football version of the Manning Cast, and it's going to be hosted by Pat McAfee. Is a very popular show on YouTube. Aaron Rodgers, of course, has his weekly media availability, it seems like, with Pat McAfee and his gang as part of the program. So our poll question at KGYMradio.com, will you be watching the college football version of the Manning Cast? Yes or no? That poll question is brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Again, 319-366-1600. Jumping right in, some college basketball news to talk about actually for today, and Not so great news when it comes to the Iowa women's basketball team. This news coming out earlier today, reported by multiple sources. But injury bug biting the Hawkeyes. Kylie Fierbach, guard for the Hawkeyes, it's announced earlier today she's going to miss the 2022-23 season. So all of this season, after tearing the ACL in her right knee, news release from the university and the Iowa women's basketball team said that the injury happened during a team workout this week. So doing a team workout ended up tearing the ACL in her right knee, and that will cause her to miss the entire 2022-23 season. Of course, not good news. No injury is good news ever in the world of sports, but for the Iowa teams, takes away some of their depth. The former Iowa State player, of course, she transferred into Iowa last season. She appeared in all 32 games, started two of them, averaged about 15 minutes a game, just a hair under 15 minutes a game, while scoring about 3.4 points a game and shot 42% from the floor. Of course, one of her key performances in the season last year for the Iowa women's basketball team was the game against Michigan, in which Fierbach scored 7 points, 3-for-3 shooting in a quarter, helped Iowa shift that momentum against number 6 Michigan on their way to the Big Ten regular season title. So Kylie Fierbach going to miss the entire 2022-23 season because of a torn ACL. Obviously, a lot of questions about who's going to be the next person to step up. Hearing this week, I know there was a media availability earlier this week for the women's basketball team, and one of the players that spoke was Molly Davis, who, of course, transferred in from Central Michigan to play for Coach Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes. Going to see probably some more significant minutes from her. Sydney Athelter as well could step in. Those are the two, at least off the top of the mind, if you look at just depth chart and roster and positioning for the Iowa women's team, that could step in right away. But some bad news for the Hawkeyes, with Kylie Fierbach announcing, the team announcing that she is going to miss all of this coming season with torn ACL in her right knee. Some other piece of news here from the women's basketball side of things. Kind of an interesting development is the women's basketball tournament, of course, still a number of months away. Got to wait till next March before things pick up there. But the NCAA announcing the women's bracket is going to be revealed on Selection Sunday, March 12th on ESPN. And a change that was it was previously publicized that this was going to happen, but got to look a little bit different. If you looked at the bracket this past season, you saw, of course, the Final Four in Minneapolis, the championship game in Minneapolis. Then you saw the four regionals across the country. So you had regionals in Greensboro, in Wichita, in Spokane, and in Bridgeport, Connecticut, right in UConn's backyard. Of course, they made that run out of that regional to get to the Final Four. That's actually being done away with. And this is not necessarily new information, but ESPN putting out a little bit more information about how this is all going to work earlier today. But instead of having those four regionals essentially spread across the country, a couple on the East Coast, one in the middle of the country in Wichita, and one out in Spokane, in 2023, the NCAA women's tournament moving to a two-host format for the regionals. So for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, it's going to be two hosts, two cities hosting for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and the women's tournament. Eight teams will play in Greenville, South Carolina. Eight teams will play in Seattle. And then the Final Four will be in Dallas this year. This was previously announced, but seeing that information again coming out, kind of a shift, kind of disappointing if your team, you know, moves, you know, to a region that's somewhere closer to you. Like, say, if a team was scheduled to be in the Wichita Regional in previous years, or in the Midwest Regional in previous years. Now a little bit more spread out. Greenville, South Carolina, obviously on the East Coast. West Coast for the Seattle Regional, and then coming back to the middle of the country for Dallas. So eliminating two of the regional sites and just going to the two-host format for 2023. That news and updates coming out today from the women's side of things, NCAA women's tournament. So that's the latest information there from the women's basketball side of things here for you today. It weighs out from the season, but it'll be here before we know it. Just like NFL. Didn't sneak up on us. We knew the dates were getting closer, but it's right on our doorstep now with college football coming up too. That blurring of the season, still one of my favorite times of the year. You got college football, you got NFL, you've got the tail end of the baseball regular season going into the postseason, and then towards the end of baseball and into what, late October, November, of course into December, you start to see basketball firing up. One of the best times of the year to be a sports fan, that is for sure. 215 here at Spencer at Sports, here on KGYM, 319-366-1600. Again, we'll get to some baseball news and notes and some NFL talk coming up here in just a little bit. In fact, we will talk more NFL, take a look at what happened to the Hall of Fame game last night coming up in just a few moments. Did you watch the Hall of Fame game? Did you make it through the whole thing? Let me know, 319-366-1600. What'd you think of it? Are you all on the Jarrett Stidham train in Las Vegas? Probably not, because, you mean, Derek Carr, unless he gets hurt, knock on wood for the Raider fans out there. But Derek Carr expected to do big things, obviously, with Devontae Adams joining the force in Las Vegas. Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, did not see any of them last night. Did not even see the second-string quarterback for Jacksonville last night. C.J. Beathard out, did not play. Trevor Lawrence did not play. So it was Jake Luton and Kyle Sloter last night. Not the best quality of football, but it was football. And we'll recap what happened in the Hall of Fame game last night coming up here in just a bit. Thanks for checking out the show. It's Spencer on Sports here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have some warmer and more humid conditions as the afternoon goes on with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. Then later tonight, we'll have some passing clouds and temperatures just drop down into the upper 60s. Tomorrow is going to be hot and humid. Temperatures will be climbing into the low 90s. A heat advisory goes into effect in the afternoon as heat index values could be near and above 100 degrees for several hours. We'll then have storms arriving in the evening. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz.
So I'm sitting back watching the Ocho today, and I realized that maybe we need to start thinking about all of the sports it presents differently. Hear me out. It wasn't that long ago. Like, if you're my age, you remember when people were up in arms about the concept that a skateboarder could actually be considered an athlete. That's not an athletic event. That's something kids do. Right? Think about how many people were sitting there at one point protesting the concept of snowboarding being an Olympic sport, right? Where are we now? I watched kickball today on the Ocho, and I saw the passion that they played with, and I realized that as much as today, right now, the easy thing to do is to laugh at darts or axe throwing or kickball or any of these things, maybe we should acknowledge that more sports give more people the opportunity to do whatever it is that they love in a highly competitive environment. The Ocho is something that we've embraced as a company, and I frankly love watching every year. But maybe this year, instead of looking at it as some laughable moment of bar sports gone to the next level, we should be looking at it as some of the future sports our kids and our grandkids might be competing in at the highest possible level. Rams quarterback Matt Stafford dealing with an injury, and it raises a question about pressure. See, this year the AFC is stacked, and we know it, right? The NFC is not. So I'd make the argument in the AFC, if you don't go to the Super Bowl, context will forgive that. It's a wild year. So many good teams. In the NFC, there's a handful of good teams. The Rams, the Buccaneers, maybe the Packers, right? So when you've only got a handful of teams that are competing for the highest possible level in that conference, there's a higher amount of pressure. And if you're the Rams, anything short of everything from your starting quarterback could mean that you're on the outside looking in, which would be an absolute fail for the organization this year. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat from Spain and Fitz, I'm Jason Fitz.
At a cooperative like DePaco Credit Union, you're not just a member, you're also an owner. And that means your active participation not only powers the credit union, but promotes financial well-being through education, better rates, fewer fees, and thank yous. A special member benefit that thanks you with extra cash dividends just for using your credit union. Together since 2016, DePaco members have shared more than $20.5 million in thank yous. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more by saving, borrowing, investing, and insuring with DePaco. Not a member? Get the details and learn how to earn at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
ZZ Top Raw Whiskey Tour. August 16th, 8 p.m., Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. Playing all their classic hits. ZZ Top. With special guest Ann Wilson from Heart. August 16th, 8 p.m., Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. ZZ Top. Live, rocking you like no one else can. Reserved seats are on sale now at iowastatefair.org and at the Iowa State Fair ticket office. Convenience fees apply to all tickets. For more info, go to zztop.com.
It's got me under pressure. It's got me under pressure.
ZZ Top.
It's got me under pressure.
August 16th, 8 p.m., Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines.
Keep your home neat and tidy with 11% off everything at Menards, including cleaning supplies. The Libman Tornado Spin Mop System is great for deep cleaning your floors and features a spinning handle for easy mop head wringing. Now just $31.99 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything at Menards. Good through August 7th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
2:22 on the button. It's Spencer on Sports back for a Friday, August 5th of 2022. Through a 9-366-1600. Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up between 4 and 6. They've got your final chance to play You Oughta Know for a pair of tickets to check out Alanis Morissette with special guest Morgan Wade, Monday, August 15th at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines. The fair runs August 11th through the 21st. All the details about that show and the fair itself, all the different grandstand acts they have, available on our website, kgymradio.com. And through a 9-366-1600, keep that number handy. We'll play our final edition of Match Game. Have it up here in 10 plus minutes on the show on KGYM. You heard Jason Fitz a moment ago mention the ESPN 8 at the Ocho. I debated giving the people what they want. Not the Brewers hour. Sorry, I've been told don't do that again. I will complain about the Brewers, but I can't do a Brewers hour. That's what I've been told. So, okay. All right. Fine. I'll do what they tell me to. I debated giving you wall-to-wall coverage of ESPN 8 The Ocho, like all the weird stuff they've got on ESPN 2 right now. What makes me wonder why I'm watching Cubs baseball and not The Ocho right now in the studio. But I debated doing wall-to-wall The Ocho, just, you know, forget all the other stuff. Who cares about the top headlines of the day? We've got ESPN 8 The Ocho to talk about. I decided against it. Figured I'd get, you know, stick to sports on the text line and on Twitter, at SW on the radio, by the way, or the hashtag SOS on KGYM. Figured I'd get a lot of stick to sports people, even though it is sports. It's less common, lesser known sports. I opted to stick with the stuff we know about, but if you're curious right now, the Ocho, I believe this is an Eastern time. I should do my homework, shouldn't I? Yes, it is. This is Eastern time. Currently airing on the Ocho, it is the Poga Palooza Cup. I'm assuming that has something to do with pogo sticks. P-O-G-O Palooza. Some sort of sport played with pogo sticks. Coming up at 3 Central, Cornhole quarterfinals. Something called Omega Ball coming up at 4, at 5. It's the Dodgeball All-Star Showcase. So, like, they're actually playing dodgeball on a day created after the movie. Slippery Stairs coming up at 6 tonight. Also at 8 Central Time, the U.S. Air Guitar All-Star Air Off. So if you are an air guitar aficionado yourself, you could check that out later on tonight. 9 Eastern, 8 Central for that. I got scolded because I did not record the Corgi races. They were on at 11 o'clock last night. I forgot. I got scolded because I didn't record the Corgi races at home. Thankfully, Hulu is your friend. I'm probably getting in trouble for mentioning that, but we use Hulu. Search it. It's there. It's recording now, but did not have a please significant other because they wanted to watch the Corgi races last night. Enough about the Ocho. On to real sports. Football. Did you watch the Hall of Fame game last night? Wasn't the best quality of football, but it was football. The Raiders winning 27-11 over Jacksonville and Canton last night. 3 rushing touchdowns from Las Vegas last night. Amir Abdullah, the former Nebraska Cornhusker, Jarrett Stidham, and Austin Walter, with a rushing touchdown last night. Jags, a field goal in the third. Late touchdown pass, Kyle Sloter to Nathan Cottrell. 3:26 left. Raiders dominated that game pretty much. All the statistical categories went to them in total yards, time of possession, and first downs. So the Raiders with a relatively easy victory over a Jacksonville team, not even playing their second string quarterback, down to their third and fourth options in the game last night with Jake Luton getting the start last night, the former Oregon State Beaver. A couple former Hawkeyes playing last night in the game. Mentioned C.J. Beathard did not play. Thought I saw Brandon Sheriff was out as well. But Mekhi Sargent, former Hawkeye, leading Jacksonville in rushing, 5 carries for 22 yards. Also caught 5 passes for 37 yards in the loss for the Jags. Zach Van Valkenburg, rookie for Las Vegas, recorded a solo tackle in the game for Las Vegas. Just tracking how the former Hawkeye Cyclones and Panthers did in the game last night. So Las Vegas getting things going last night with a win against the Jags in Canton. Of course, the Hall of Fame ceremony is coming up this weekend, enshrining a number of different players and coaches, obviously, as well. Tony Boselli, of course, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler of the Green Bay Packers. Official Art McAnally. One of the inductees this weekend. Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, legendary coach Dick Vermeil, and Bryant Young, the inductees for the class of 2022 at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Obviously, being a Packers fan, a soft spot in my heart for Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, all-around good dude, one-time car dealership owner in Wisconsin, if you can believe that. Leroy Butler, one of the inductees, well-deserving, one of those guys that he was just so close to being in, a finalist, seemed like every year, and finally he gets his chance, gets his call to the Hall. If you have not seen that, he was at home. They do it's such a cool thing. They do the door knocks whether they're at the hotel or they're at home or wherever they are, and someone who means something to the player knocks on the door, and they surprise him, you know, shake their hand, like, hey, you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. For Leroy Butler, he was at his home, and he was on ESPN Radio earlier today. I don't have the sound in front of me, but Leroy Butler was at home. He talked with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. He said it was like 11 degrees out. Somebody knocks on his door, and there's Charles Woodson standing outside his house, like, Chuck, what are you doing here? And Chuck's like, hey, congratulations, you're going to the Hall of Fame. So, pretty cool moment. If you have not seen, there's a video out there somewhere. I'm sure you could find it if you search around. But cool moment. Always cool to see that. And that is your Hall of Fame class for 2022 with the Hall of Fame induction ceremony coming up this weekend in Canton, Ohio. We do have preseason football, not this weekend, but under a week away. The bulk of the preseason slate begins with games actually next Thursday, some nationally televised games. So if you're looking to whet your appetite for some preseason football, you got some games to look forward to down the stretch here. Next Thursday, New England hosting the Giants. That'll be an NFL Network broadcast. Also Tennessee and Baltimore. Next Friday, you've got the Lions hosting Atlanta, the Jags hosting Cleveland, Cincinnati hosting Arizona, Philly hosting the Jets, and the Packers. They are in action next Friday on the road at San Francisco. The Bears in action, next Saturday, hosting the Chiefs. That's a noon game that will be on NFL Network. Washington hosting Carolina, Buffalo hosting Indy, Pittsburgh and Seattle, Tampa and Miami, Houston and New Orleans, Denver hosting Dallas, and the battle for L.A., the Rams and Chargers. That's next Saturday, the 13th. And then next Sunday, you've got the Vikings taking on the Las Vegas Raiders in Vegas. So no rest for the weary. Jacksonville and Las Vegas have to play next week. In fact, they get that extra preseason game that not everybody gets in the NFL. That is the schedule coming up for next week. Nothing this weekend. You get the little appetizer this week with the Hall of Fame game, but that is the schedule for next weekend's NFL preseason dockets. And, of course, three preseason games for everybody except the Jags and the Raiders, who get the bonus game with the Hall of Fame game. Interesting story coming out of L.A. I don't know if you saw this, but Matthew Stafford experiencing some right elbow pain. And Rams coach Sean McVay is saying his elbow pain is, quote, a little bit abnormal for a quarterback, end quote, comparing it instead to what pitchers deal with. Stafford dealt with an elbow injury last year. He received an injection in his right elbow during the offseason, did not throw during the Rams spring workouts. He said he and the team were trying to be smart with his throwing arm. Stafford throwing during individual and 7-on-7 drills Thursday, did not take part in team reps, and McVay saying earlier in the week that he doesn't expect Stafford to do so before the Rams leave Irvine on August 10th. McVay saying the Rams training staff and Stafford trying some different things to help some of the pain that Stafford was feeling in his elbow. McVay saying that the Rams knew they wanted to have a modified approach to this issue with Matthew Stafford. McVay is saying Wednesday, Stafford's pain, not a setback, but is consistent with what's been going on. And also saying he looked really good during practice on Thursday. So something to watch, Matthew Stafford with a little right elbow pain, which is abnormal for a quarterback, according to the training staff and Sean McVay. Obviously still plenty of time to get that resolved. One other thing kind of on the lighter side of NFL news here, the odds are out. The favorites in several statistical categories, so passing yards, passing touchdowns, even interceptions, they are out. This is BetMGM, so you can look around for the best odds around the betting world, but this is this info courtesy of BetMGM. And when it comes to the favorites to lead the league in different categories, it's actually a lot of the same players. The favorites to lead the league in passing yards, at least according to BetMGM, you have a three-way tie for passing yards between Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. And then Herbert also leads the category for passing touchdowns at plus 550. Favorite to lead the league in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, again, according to BetMGM, Jonathan Taylor leading the pack there. Derrick Henry a close second in both categories for rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. Receiving yards, receptions, and receiving touchdowns, the leader at the pack. No surprise after the season he had last year, Cooper Kupp leading the betting odds for receiving yards, receptions, and receiving touchdowns. When it comes to the defensive side of things, Myles Garrett, the odds-on favorite to lead the league in sacks at plus 650. And then if you're just looking for something to bet on, you could bet on this. How about this? The betting favorites for interceptions for the 2022 season. Take a guess. Who do you think the betting favorite is? I'll give you a minute. He's been in the news lately for some off-the-field stuff involving women. Leave it at that. Zach Wilson, passing interceptions, the odds-on favorite for leading the league in interceptions at plus 800. Fellow second-year quarterback Davis Mills, plus 900. Justin Fields, sorry, Bear fans, he's at plus 1,000. Trevor Lawrence also at plus 1,000. And the only real seasoned vet in the odds, Jameis Winston at plus 1,400 for passing interceptions. But Zach Wilson, again, according to BetMGM, the betting favorite, at least right now, a couple weeks out from the start of the regular season, to lead the league in interceptions, for what it is worth. If you're looking for something to place a wager on, maybe you can hit on that for 2022. At 2:35 at Spencer on Sports here for a Friday afternoon. Let's give you a chance to win. We've been playing Match Game all week long, giving away tickets to check out Co Wetzel, Outlaw Country, Country Rock. Lots of great music from him. He's going to be right here in Cedar Rapids a week from tonight, in fact, Friday, August 12th at the McGrath Amphitheater in Cedar Rapids. Puts on a great show. We've been playing Match Game. I'll give you the name of a football player, and it's your job to match the player to the school they went to. And since Co Wetzel is a native of the state of Texas, I figured let's do a Texas twist on this and play it with nothing but Texas schools. So we've had a Texas school each day. We're down to our final Texas school. And what I'll do is I'll give you the athlete name, the football player name. First person to call Ben at 319-366-1600 will be the winner if you give him the correct answer. So here is your player. Need you to name the school this player went to. Michael Crabtree. What school did Michael Crabtree attend? Former wide receiver in the National Football League, picked by the San Francisco 49ers. Michael Crabtree, what Texas college did he attend? 319-366-1600. Give Ben a call. If you give him the correct answer, you get a pair of tickets to check out Co Wetzel in Cedar Rapids 1 week from tonight. We'll take a quick timeout. Back with some baseball talk on the way next, right here in the gym.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertine and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
I decided to get a condo and I was done with renting. I was ready to have space for my dog.
We're talking with Janae Nelson about her first mortgage with Midwest One Bank.
My realtor suggested Midwest One's first-time homebuyer program and it was a perfect fit. Midwest One Bank made me feel like there was no judgment in my financial situation. Midwest One Bank absolutely made it simple. This is going to be a relationship that I'm going to keep building.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton presents One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen in the Works. It's One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen in the Works, Saturday, August 6th at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton. Tickets are on sale at the Iowa store or wildroseresorts.com.
Back on a Friday, Spencer at Sports, 2:38, coming up on 2:39. Congratulations to Clint from Independence. Knew the answer. Today's Match Game, Michael Crabtree went to Texas Tech. If you've been following, I've been doing like the major Texas schools and kind of like process of elimination. Would have given you that answer if you followed along with the pattern. If you didn't, you knew that. Congratulations to Clint. Taking home the final pair of tickets to check out Co Wetzel at the McGrath Amphitheater in Cedar Rapids. Crabtree will forever be known for, was 2008, wasn't it? The epic touchdown catch to beat Texas in Lubbock from Graham Harrell. Green Bay Packers legend Graham Harrell. Remember Graham Harrell? He was at USC. He's a coach now, isn't he? Is he still at USC or did he leave? He might be at Texas Tech now. I got to read up on my where are they now, former Packer backup quarterbacks, apparently. But Graham Harrell to Michael Crabtree to beat Texas. Still one of the most electric plays in college football history. Crabtree he didn't have a great NFL career. He had a good one. At least that's what I qualified as. He was first-round pick, wasn't he? I have Google in front of me. You'd think it, you know, type in Michael Crabtree during the break. But nah, that's not how we operate around here. But yes, Michael Crabtree, the answer today, Texas Tech. I figured Mahomes was too easy. I thought about, like, Wes Welker, but figured I'd go Michael Crabtree. See if you throw you a curveball. See if you knew your late 2000s, early 2010s Texas Tech wide receivers. So that's match game. We'll do that again sometime. I thought that was fun. Co Wetzel being a Texan, I figured we'd throw out some Texas schools. And congratulations to all our winners. Enjoy the show. If you want tickets, we're not able to win them. We've got a link about the show at kgymradio.com. Check it out there. All the info about all the giveaways we're doing this week there for you at kgymradio.com. We've got baseball on the TV this afternoon. I mentioned that. The Cubs and the Marlins still scoreless in Chicago. That game in the bottom half of the fourth inning here this afternoon. The Cubs were swept by the Cardinals yesterday. One game finished while we were on the air 4-3. Cardinals rallying from down 3-0 to win 4-3. Lars Nootbaar, the Nootbaar, with a walk-off RBI single in the ninth, also tied the game on a sac fly in the seventh. The Cubs falling in game two last night as well, 7-2. Tyler O'Neill, go-ahead three-run home run in the seventh. Former Iowa Hawkeye Matt Dermody mentioned he was called up part of the doubleheader, the 27th man. And Dermody pitched an inning, the last inning of the game, gave up two runs on two hits, walked two, and struck out one in the loss for the Cubs. White Sox falling to Texas yesterday, 3-2. The Twins losing to Toronto, Target Field last night, 9-3. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with a three-run home run. Jose Miranda drove in a couple in the loss for the Twins. That series continues tonight. Brewers, here you go. Here's my, 30 seconds complaining about the Brewers. They were swept by the Pirates. Pirates are playing well. I will give the Pirates credit where it is due. But they were swept by the Pirates. Not only that, Dinelson Lamet, Brewers legend Dinelson Lamet, claimed off waivers today by the Rockies. So it isn't clear waivers. So one of the guys you gave up your potential future Hall of Fame closer for, not going to be on your team. Not what I would have done, but I am just a guy talking on the radio in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm not a baseball executive, but Brewers, Cardinals now tied in the National League Central after the Brewers are swept by the Pirates, losing 5-4 in 10 innings. Royals got a win over Boston last night, 7-3. Salvi Perez with a home run and four RBI last night. Mets beat Atlanta, important series in the NL East there, 6-4. Pete Alonso, three driven in with a home run last night. Tyler Naquin, two solo shots for the Mets last night. Dodgers beating the Giants, 5-3. The Padres, in game two of the Juan Soto era, falling to Colorado 7-3. Soto did have a double and a triple, scored a run. Josh Bell, 2-for-3 with an RBI in the loss to the Rockies. In the American League, Houston beating Cleveland 6-0. Tampa beating Detroit 6-2. Here's the game I wanted to talk about. This is nuts. Oakland beat the Angels yesterday 8-7. Ramon Laureano, 2-for-5, a double, home run, four driven in. The Angels hit seven solo home runs, seven of them, and lost. How is that even possible? What's going on? I mean, it's the Angels, so that's what's going on. The Angels hitting seven solo home runs as a team. Shohei Ohtani hit two of them and lost to Oakland, 8-7. The Angels just the second team in Major League history to hit seven solo homers and lose. That's according to ESPN stats and info. They are also the first team in the majors to hit 7 home runs in a game and score no other runs. Shohei Ohtani, like I mentioned, hitting 2 solo shots yesterday, is his 11th multi-homer game in the majors and his 5th this season. Kurt Suzuki, Taylor Ward, Joe Adele, and Jared Walsh also going deep for the Angels. 7 homers overall, ties an overall franchise record. Last team to do this, to achieve this feat, is achieve the right word? Probably not. The White Sox in 2016. Sorry, Scott Unash. The White Sox in 2016, the only other team to hit 7 solo home runs and lose. And in total, only 6 teams have hit 7 solo homers in a game, win or lose, in Major League history. Not the kind of history you want to make. Angels doing that yesterday, losing to the Oakland A's. So I mentioned on the docket today, you've got the Cubs hosting Miami, first of a 3-game set at Wrigley. White Sox still in Texas tonight. Dylan Cease going against Glenn Otto there. Kansas City hosting Boston in Milwaukee tonight. Brewers looking to bounce back against the Cincinnati Reds. 7-10 start there. It's a 40th anniversary of the 1982 Brewers team that went to the World Series and lost. So it's welcome home celebration weekend there at American Family Field. Twins hosting Toronto, and a rather intriguing series, the Yankees in town in St. Louis hosting, or as the Cardinals welcome the Yankees to town. Nestor Cortez taking on Dakota Hudson tonight at a 7:15 start. Also on the highlight tonight, the Padres, Juan Soto, Josh Bell, and the Padres. I guess I got to include Brandon Drury in there too. The Padres are at the Dodgers. That is, believe, the Sunday night game this week that we'll have on ESPN Radio with KGYM. That is a 9:10 start tonight. Sean Manaea going against Tony Gonsolin. I mentioned Miguel Cabrera making some comments yesterday. Still undecided, sounds like, on his future. Detroit Tigers legend Miguel Cabrera, not certain whether he will return for the 2023 MLB season. Via Evan Petzl, the Cabrera on Thursday, saying that he doesn't feel well right now. He says he's trying to do whatever he can to go out there and play, but he doesn't feel really good right now. And A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Tigers, saying that he doesn't think it's going to get a ton better. Speaking of Miguel Cabrera's knee, which has been an issue lately, and he's been dealing with most of the season. A.J. Hinch saying that Miguel Cabrera has his good days, he has his bad days, and that Hinch is obviously very concerned because with his age and how much he's played, Hinch saying really no resolution other than just being able to fight through it. Cabrera, no doubt, going to be a future first ballot Hall of Famer. Triple Crown winner in 2012, AL MVP 2012 and 2013. Also eclipsing 500 home runs and 3,000 hits for his career. But Miggy might be hanging it up. No official word yet, but read between the lines. Obviously considering it, considering his health. Obviously where the Tigers are at this season, too, might play a role in it as well. But that's the latest from baseball here for you this afternoon at 2:48. Quick 60-second timeout. Take that, and Collector's Corner coming up in just a bit. Thanks for checking out the show. Spencer Out Sports here on KGYM.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions.
Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. 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 Reese's.
All right, at 2:49. Welcome back in, Spencer on Sports here on KGYM. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. I'll be in for Scott Unash today, so double the Spencer here on KGYM this afternoon. We'll be joined by Mark Dukes. We've got Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette set to join us. We'll give you a preview of what's coming up in the gym class. Also on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up between 4 and 6 in just a bit with our What's on Tap segment. Final chance to win as well coming up on the gym class, a pair of tickets to check out the George Halas exhibit, which is at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids. We'll have that for you coming up between 3 and 4 as well. Mentioned Collector's Corner. It's a story we hear quite often, and I think we shared, it was a week or two ago, right ahead of the National Sports Collectors Convention in Atlantic City. As I mentioned, did not get a chance to go. I was here working. Atlantic City, a little bit too far away from Eastern Iowa. Chicago, where it usually is a different story. But talked about that as a Mickey Mantle card, the 52 tops Mickey Mantle. It's one of the iconic cards of all time. Even a low grade card, meaning scale 1 to 10, you'd be on like the 0 to 1 side, is like well over $1,000 for one of those. That's one of the iconic cards of all time. Another one is the Hannes Wagner T206, produced by American Tobacco Company between 1909 and 1911. You've probably seen it, even if you're not into baseball cards. I know you've seen a picture of it. Well, there was one that just sold, a private sale brokered by the Golden Sports Memorabilia Company. It is graded a 2, which, considering how old it is, between 1909 and 1911, is pretty darn good for that decade to grade a 2, even. You'd think a 2, what's so special about that? If you grade any modern card as a 2, it's, why did you even bother spending the money to grade it? But this is one of those grail cards of all time that every collector at some point or another has dreamed about owning, or just alone seeing it in person. And this graded a 2 T206 Hannes Wagner sold for $7.25 million. $7.25 million. It's the most ever paid for a trading card. I feel like every time I share one of these stories on the show, it's the most ever paid for a trading card. And it breaks the industry record of $6.6 million for a different Hannes Wagner card that sold a year ago by Robert Edward Auctions. The buyer and seller remain anonymous of this new one that sold for $7.25 million. Now, what's kind of interesting to note is the card last year that sold for $6.6 million was graded a 3, so one grade up from this one that just sold, which is a 2. Doesn't really make sense, does it? But that's, I've been in the hobby long enough. I've been collecting since probably 10, 11, 12, kind of in that range. Got serious about it probably 11, 12, right around 13. Been collecting for a long time, and the more you stay in the card collecting hobby, I've noticed, the less it makes sense. Some of the things that people are focusing on, people dropping their money on, it's like, why? Wait, what? What are you doing? Like Jarrett Stidham, for example, had an okay game last night. There are people who saw that game last night in the Hall of Fame game, meaningless preseason game, and will throw a bunch of money at his football cards from 2019. Over one small game like that, and he's not going to do anything. Like I said, none of it really makes sense, but what does make sense is that this old stuff, Hannes Wagner, Mickey Mantle, some of the all-time greats, Michael Jordan, even more modern stuff like LeBron, it goes for a lot of money. And another record sale, $7.25 million for a T206 Hannes Wagner. Ken Golden, the executive chairman of Golden Auction, said, "He's been in this business for a very long time, seen a lot of incredible trading cards and pieces of memorabilia. There's nothing on earth like a T206. And he said he was honored to be a part of history and facilitate the record-breaking sale of this card. The T206 Swagner, like I mentioned, the 52 Topps Mickey Mantle. Like I said, one of the two, or are the two, holy grail baseball cards because so few exist, and well, they're such popular players, especially Mantle, in the world of baseball. So that is the collector's corner for today. $7.25 million for a baseball card. Yeah. Don't think I will be dropping that much money on any of that anytime soon. Remind you of our poll question in case you didn't hear the news. Kind of an interesting interesting thing happening. The Manning cast concept coming to college football. Pat McAfee announcing on his show yesterday he's going to be hosting 6 simulcasts for ESPN college football games this season. It's going to be aired on ESPN2. Not known what games they're going to choose, but essentially this alternate broadcast is going to be on ESPN2 while the main game airs on ESPN this season. So our poll question at KGYMRadio.com today before we step out the door, just to remind you of it one more time. We want to know, will you be watching the college football version of the Manning cast starring Pat McAfee? Yes or no? You could vote right now at KGYMRadio.com. Again, brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Of course, the Manning cast, it's fun to watch. I'm a fan of just watching the game, even if it's two teams I don't care about. I just want to watch the game. I don't necessarily want the extra commentary, but it is a popular thing, and you knew it was only a matter of time that there would be something like this for college football. So it's going to be coming to your TV screens this season, so you can weigh in on the poll question at KGYMRadio.com here for you this afternoon. I mentioned the gym class coming up in just a bit. Myself and Mark Dukes with you between 3 and 4. Jeff Johnson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining us at 3:30 today. Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up between 4 and 6. They've got David W. Cobb joining the guys at 5 tonight. Love it or leave it, regular Friday show coming your way here as well. So tune in for the rest of our local programming here this afternoon on KGYM. We're back here Monday. If you missed anything from the show today, you can check out the podcast at KGYMRadio.com. Gym class coming up momentarily.
In the wee hours of the